Matters of the Universe is intended for adult audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
Welcome to Matters of the Universe. It's me, Orko. It's hard being a flying t-shirt with an O on it. But I figure it out, and the mats figure out this week's episode, The Quest for He-Man. And it gets pretty philosophical. I'm proud of the guys. They didn't just quickly divert into potty humor like they normally do. They really cleaned it up. Well, let's listen to what they got to say, or go away! I'm still in the corner.
Welcome to Matters of the Universe, where two guys named Matt talk about He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. I'm Matt Noss. With me is Matt Rose. How are you today, Matt?
I'm okay. And, you know, we stopped saying, two guys named Matt talk about what matters to them. This was something that mattered to us. As we revisit it, I don't know.
You know, a strange thing is happening when I'm watching this, and I'm seeing you get ready to watch these episodes, is that both of us look incredibly pained. That neither of us is like, yes. That both of us are like, here we
do
go.
Do you want to watch another episode of Rick and Morty before we do this?
Yeah, no, once more into the breach, my friend. Today was no exception.
It wasn't the cosmic comet, okay? Today's episode was better.
Fine.
And I like to credit part of that with it being written by Paul Dini, but whatever, you know. So this was the 19th episode.
The Quest for He-Man.
The Quest for He-Man. It was the 19th episode to air. It was written by Paul Dini, who was one of the people responsible for Batman the Animated Series, Superman the Animated Series, Justice League, Justice League Unlimited, Justice League Action. Even got writing credit on Gotham, I believe, the live-action show. And then it was directed by Steve Clark. Steve Clark had previously done stuff for He-Man, such as The Cosmic Comet. He also had done work on stuff like The Bionic Six, DuckTales, Dick Tracy, and Super Chicken, which I was not aware of. But
Super Chicken?
Super Chicken. It was a cartoon. Yeah, you know what? Let's just get right into the episode.
Alrighty. So it opens up. It's on Eternia, Castle Eternia.
Palace Eternia. It's the land around Palace Eternia, and we can see two sky sleds.
Yes.
Zipping around, and
so here's my first question right out the gate. I'm coming in hot. He-Man has a sky sled. Skeletor has sky sleds. Does Eternia have a sky sled dealership?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Downtown Eternia? Yeah, you go there and, you know, I mean, shit, there's probably at least five dealerships. Because, I mean, are you gonna go with like a top of the line? Are you gonna go with more of an economy line? You know, is this a grocery getter? I mean,
so at some point, somebody in Eternia had to be in the dealership when Skeletor was buying some sky sleds.
Yeah, like, that's
like, here's Man-at-Arms. He's trying to boost up his sky sleds. He's got an attack track waiting outside.
Yeah.
Skeletor's got that dumb beast, you know, that flying. It's basically attack track.
Oh,
that
yeah,
flies
yeah, yeah,
with
yeah,
claws.
Yeah.
Looks like a skull.
Yeah. It's so stupid looking.
And
yeah, I mean, it would be so awkward for the two of them to run into each other because,
right,
like, neither of them are gonna fight. Like, Skeletor doesn't have a plan. I mean, and that's, I mean, frankly, that's a Monday through Friday thing,
right? Like, you can totally tell that if they wanted to get rid of Skeletor, it would not be hard.
No,
he is literally 7 football fields away from them.
Yeah, he is. They know where Snake Mountain is.
They know.
This isn't some secret location. Everybody knows where Snake Mountain is.
Right. Everybody knows where Eternia is. Everybody knows where Castle Grayskull is.
Yeah. I mean, none of these things. I mean, these are on, like, fucking Howard Johnson of Eternia maps for kids to color in. Like, oh, hey, here's, you know, Palace Eternia. Here's
so, like, truly, like, Eternia is about the size of Cedar Point. Like, that's what it feels like. It's like, you know, you have the Old West town, you have the beginning, the fairway, as it were, and then you kind of like, but really, like, there's just
It's not very large.
It's not very large. So here it is. It's Saturday. Skeletor sees Man-at-Arms at the dealership, and Skeletor's like,
ah, Man-at-Arms, I... really getting taken to the cleaners here. Any advice?
Oh, I don't know. What are you doing here exactly?
Look, man, we all use sky sleds. We've crashed a lot of them chasing you guys, you know?
Well, that's very true, though you did shoot at Palace Eternia.
Well, I like to. It's fun.
You know what? You know, it's the weekend. Frankly, I'm not on the clock right now. I don't care.
He gets super Boston when he relaxes.
Well, I have been drinking since like noon.
I want that moment so bad. Like they go in together on the salesman. Like the salesman goes, all right, and that's 20 sky sleds. They are $4,000 a piece.
Wait! No! You bumbling boob! Come back to me with a better price!
Sir, insulting me is not going to get you.
You know what won't get you sold 20 sky sleds? $4,000 a pop, baby!
Do you have a family member that works for the company?
Does it look like I have family? I'm an orphan. Everybody knows that. Nobody has ever loved me, hence why I'm evil.
You don't seem like that bad of a guy. No, I mean, you did call me a boob, but
you're just saying that. Nobody likes me.
I don't hate you.
$4,000 a piece, that's a pretty good price.
That's how they get you.
Yeah, what I love, he wasn't even selling it that hard. He was just like, I don't think you're that bad of a guy.
Now
like,
you're the sweetest man. Hey, Chip.
Next week.
Yeah, he shows up. He's like, hey, we have a softball game. We need an extra guy.
He's wearing like a leisure suit. Lad Chip, there you are, old buddy.
Hey,
me and the boys, you know, we're going to throw back some brewskis and just play a little pickup softball if you're interested.
I'm working?
I get it. You don't like Skeletor anymore. It's fine.
Skeletor, are we going to play or what?
Well, Chip, he has been a real big dickhead.
God damn you.
You do one thing.
You had one job.
You broke his heart.
No, it's fine.
His heart is like a tiny little chunk of rock, and somehow you smashed it into smaller pieces.
God, Chip, you don't know what you've
done.
No,
Skell. If we don't get outside soon... Orko is going to go bananas.
Come on, boys. Get out here. The beer is warming up.
God damn it.
And scene.
That's what I want more of, Manny. I just want more inside of a dealership.
Paul Dini hates Prince Adam.
Well... I don't blame him. Prince Adam is just... I can't stand him. I can't stand Prince Adam.
It's
He-Man isn't much better, but Prince Adam...
It's kind of funny that Paul Dini, who's done all of these DC superheroes, did He-Man first, mm-hmm. who has a hidden identity. Mm-hmm. I always felt like, or it's ever since I've realized and connected Paul Dini to Batman the Animated Series, is that He-Man is much more like Superman more than he is like Batman.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas Bruce Wayne is the alter, or Bruce Wayne is really the mask that Batman hides behind.
Right.
Yeah, whereas Clark Kent and, I mean.
Yeah, and in general, Clark Kent is fairly boring. In general.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's, Clark Kent is supposed to be boring because
right,
he's unassuming. You don't look at him and think, oh, it's fucking Superman right there.
Clark Kent exposes the world through a child's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Prince Adam is just kind of a goof.
He's lazy and he's not particularly bright. He's rich without having earned it. But he does nothing with it. Like one of the things with Bruce Wayne, for instance, is that he has charitable foundations.
Yep.
He donates to orphanages since he himself was an orphan, right?
Right.
He he does good with what he inherited. Prince Adam does none of that.
No.
He does nothing.
Prince Adam is pretty much a layabout 100% of the time.
Oh, yeah. Like, all I can think of is, oh, geez, probably 12, 13 episodes ago, there was an episode that starts out where they're looking for Adam, and he and I think Cringer are sitting by a pond,
mm-hmm.
and he's, like, fishing with a stick or whatever.
He's in full recline with a pole in his hand.
Yeah, yeah. And that is what I think of him doing every day. He's a layabout. He's a slug of bed. He's terrible.
And is it because being He-Man's so exhausting?
No.
Interesting. Mm-mm. It's just that Prince Adam is kind of a piece
because
of...
Prince Adam was always Prince Adam until mm-hmm. he held aloft his
magic sword.
Magic sword and said, by the power of Grayskull, and then he turned into He-Man. And now it's like, oh, you know, now he's more like, I think that a more apt description is Hulk, because Bruce Banner was always Bruce Banner until he was exposed to gamma radiation, and then he became the Hulk, and now the Hulk just kind of comes out. So He-Man is kind of like that, in that he only comes out when Prince Adam needs him.
Right.
So, whereas with Bruce Banner, he's actively trying to do things.
Control it. He's
he's actively trying to control it, but he's also, when he's not Hulk, he's trying to do better things. For one, he's trying to find a cure, mm-hmm. so he's not the Hulk anymore. But also, you know, he's a doctor. He's trying to make the world a better place.
Right.
And Prince Adam runs from doing any work at all.
So here's something that just kind of came to my mind. I don't know if there's any episode where Prince Adam solves the problem. It's probably mainly because the show is called He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Yeah, not Prince Adam.
Not Prince
Turns
Adam.
Turns into He-Man eventually.
Right. But like,
but though I would love to watch that show, Prince Adam turns to He-Man eventually.
But like, there has to be in this show, there has to be an episode where someone steals his sword and he's Prince Adam and he has to solve the problem. Because yeah, that's a thing. It's like Prince Adam himself never really raises himself to the challenge.
Not that I recall, though. I'm pretty sure that there is one in there. But I can remember specifically some episodes of Batman the Animated Series where Bruce Wayne had to solve the problem. Batman couldn't. And whether that's because people were watching and he knew that he couldn't do it, or right. because Batman knows, sometimes you have to take a different approach to solve the problem.
Right.
And Prince Adam just doesn't, he doesn't get.
Well, there's nothing that. About the circumstances in this universe that make Prince Adam be anything other than a layabout, because they really, really want that contrast.
Yeah.
Between him being lazy, but also He-Man.
Yeah, I think that.
Holy crap. No, this is a big breakthrough for me, because I've always loved He-Man my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
But really, He-Man is an allegory for procrastination.
Huh. Interesting. Interesting.
This is where I'm coming from. He Prince Adam himself won't do anything unless there's trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I have lived my entire life not doing anything.
Until it was absolutely necessary.
Until it was...
No, I remember in college when you would be writing your paper the day before it was due until like 2:30 in the morning.
Yes.
And I think one of the reasons why I would get annoyed is because we lived in the same room.
Right.
And I would have to hear you tick, tack, tip, tap, tip, tap, tip, tap, 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 when you were writing your papers. And I would just be sitting there like, I have a hard enough time sleeping when you're snoring. Now you're typing.
You're a monster.
I'm going to suffocate you in your sleep. But I mean, shit, I must have been the most annoying person in college for my professors, because I would be coming to them 3 weeks before the paper was due with my first draft. Like, so can you give me notes? And I mean, they would. Because, you know, they actually liked that someone was paying attention in class. But at the same time, you know, I can just imagine them thinking like, Jesus Christ, you apple polisher. What is wrong with you? Shouldn't you be drinking or like catching VD or something?
Hey, man.
You go to Western. You don't go to Harvard. Okay.
Stop trying to impress me. My degree's from Ferris.
Man, ain't no Ferris people at Western.
True.
I don't know, maybe.
I don't know. Who cares? But that's huge. I never really put that together.
That is an interesting way to look at it. Definitely. Are you gonna need a minute? Or do you need to go walk this off?
No, I don't need to go walk it off, but I do think.
Do you think that this has had some kind of subconscious effect on you?
It's very possible. It's not impossible.
No, definitely not, especially considering how into He-Man you were.
But I've never really put that together. Like, oh, yeah, it's
you know what? I'm beginning to definitely start to see what you're talking about, especially when it comes to the theme of violence,
mm-hmm.
where instead of talking about it beforehand, it waits until things come to a head.
Mm-hmm.
Prince Adam turns to He-Man and then just punches the shit out of something.
Right.
Instead of, hey, as Prince Adam, you could have done something as Prince to head this off.
Right.
So things didn't get to that point. And now, well, now it actually necessitates He-Man. He shows up, he punches shit, he puts people in the hospital, or worse.
Right.
Or if you're like, you're a stone dude or something, like,
oh, you're
fucking
getting busted into a million pieces.
Fuck now, yeah. Yeah. Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah, this is food for
thought. Did not know that was going to happen.
No, definitely not.
In this particular episode, Paul Dini gets away from Prince Adam as quick as possible. because Trapjaw and Triclops are attacking on the sky sleds.
Yeah, yeah. So they're shooting. They're using the same animation they've used many times before. Whenever someone on a sky sled attacks Palace Eternia, so they're flying around and shooting stuff. And
but if I'm Paul Dini, I'm like, he's got to turn into He-Man because that's the only time that anything gets done.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and he Prince Adam doesn't say a word aside from by the power of Grayskull, which technically is that Prince Adam, or is it He-Man?
Oh, wow. So when is it, well, does the transformation happens
when he holds aloft his magic sword.
So he's Prince Adam when he holds it aloft. But when he says, by the power of Grayskull, he is Prince Adam and He-Man at the same time. And then He-Man fully takes over.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Look at us.
Man, we're really
busting this wide open.
We're breaking this down.
19 episodes in.
Figured it out.
We're actually talking about He-Man. But then he whistles for Wind Raider and it pulls up, which
God,
is something
that
it's
made
never
me, that
done.
That made me so mad. Where
it has never done that, and it's never been a thing. Again, they're just in the writing room being like,
So does He-Man jump down and get into this ship?
We just whistle for it like a horse.
Yeah.
You and got it, Paul. You're the man.
Well, I have a feeling he did not, like, you know, I mean, when they had Simpsons episodes, you'd have the person who wrote the majority of the episode, but then you'd have contributing producers, I think they'd get credit for, where they helped write it, but they didn't write the whole thing. I'm imagining that same thing goes for He-Man, is it was a room full of guys who just graduated high school, and then some Abraham Simpson characters, right, who've been in the biz for a while.
Right.
And no, I can tell you what kids like. What kids like is when you whistle for a spaceship and it shows up. He's wearing a fucking three-piece suit.
Yep. He wears a trilby hat. And he just keeps talking about the good old days. In my day, I used to ride on C-Lab.
Let me tell you about, what was that Disney movie, Song of the South?
Let me tell you about old Song.
Let me tell you about when I wrote Zippity Doodah. Like, I don't want to. None of us want to hear that story again.
All right. Well, that's a shame. Let me tell you about that Conan cartoon. Now, there's a guy who could whistle for a dinosaur.
Yeah.
I knew Robert E. Howard before he blew his head off. Great guy. Real sad type.
Real sad sack.
Wind Raider starts chasing Triclops on a sky sled. Then He-Man is firing a laser at it, and I didn't know that all of Triclops' eyes could see simultaneously.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, apparently he's
because he is dodging lasers like a motherfucker.
Well, yeah, I mean, so he starts laughing at He-Man like, you fool,
you idiot.
Where he's like, I can see anything you do, He-Man, and so he's like going up, going down.
But he doesn't see Ram Man.
Well, yeah, and so He-Man, you know, kind of, like, scoffs at him, like, you can see everything, huh? And then, like, Ram Man hits him from below and just busts his shit wide open.
Yeah.
I don't recall what happened to Tri... Oh, he landed outside of the castle in a puddle of mud, right?
Right.
And then Duncan was like, freeze, you son of a bitch. And
yes. Yeah, Duncan, again, having blasters on his arms, decides to pull out a freeze ray. A pistol. Yeah.
Ugh.
That's just how Duncan rolls. He's
it is. And so...
Have you ever had a Duncan roll? Man.
Delicious.
So good. My rolls are the best roll. I do not do a good Duncan. So, it's me, Skeletor. Man, I love rolls. Do a much better Skeletor. And the rolls I love the most are Duncan rolls. So be your own man at arms and hand yourself a Duncan roll.
Don't mind if I do.
Well, there you are. Eat it before
Orko,
it gets
Orko,
cold.
Orko flies by, steals it. God damn it, Orko. And then...
Orko away. Trapjaw.
Trapjaw's flying around, still shooting shit.
So He-Man says in the Wind Raider, I'm going to give him the hook. And then out of the Wind Raider flies this fucking Death Maximilian from the black hole spinning blade.
Yeah.
And it goes right into the exhaust pipe of the sky sled.
Yeah.
And then he
passes Trapjaw. And just slingshots him into the grounds of Palace Eternia, and I guess that's
how that works.
Yeah, and now he's under arrest, I guess. I don't know.
Well, except he makes a sweet beeline.
Oh shit,
for
no, I'm sorry, you're right. He lands outside. And then he challenges He-Man to a fight where he's like, oh, your sword versus my electro
hook.
Or energy hook, sorry.
Right.
Jesus. And so He-Man's like, okay, whatever. And so he keeps running a little further, and He-Man keeps chasing him a little more.
And all of this animation looks pretty familiar. Everything looks exactly familiar. He-Man runs after Trapjaw, who goes into a cave, and He-Man runs right into Skeletor and Evil Lynn's force field.
Yeah, and he's stuck.
And Skeletor is like, ah, hocus pocus, alakazocus, take He-Man far from focus. I mean, it is. It's terrible.
Oh, yeah, it's, yeah, I mean, it...
Up, down, you know what I mean. Make sure He-Man's memory is clean.
Yeah, that's almost exactly what one of them was. So they wipe He-Man's memory, and then they have him disappear.
Yep.
And he disappears into, geez, what did they call it?
Oh, God.
Well, the crossroads of all universes, but what I wrote is a geometric fever dream.
Yep.
Because it's just a bunch of shapes.
I wrote and tripping balls. and new animation.
What? No, actually, I don't think it was, because that's where Daymar the Demon lives.
Right. It's the same place.
Jesus.
But the animation of He-Man falling.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That close up on his face. That was really bad.
Matt, there was a lot of animation in this episode that was questionable at best. Like,
oh, yeah, we're going to get to this.
Yeah, we'll get to that. So, Teela, Man-at-Arms, Ram Man, Stratos shows up.
Why not?
And Cringer. They show up and they're just like, hey, you stop picking on the most powerful man in the universe. So, Evil-Lyn turns into a ball of energy, flies away. Skeletor, portal. And so Trapjaw's like, hey, you guys have my keys.
Hey, guys, little help.
Yeah, I'm one of the only guys here who can't disappear in a magic cloud. And then everyone just kind of surrounds him, where he was just like, gulp.
<He's>, oh, blee. So they put him in jail with the electro current running through.
Oh, those bars are electrically charged.
I call them jail jaw at this point.
Well, so what I wasn't clear about when he said that was, well, so wait, is there current running through the bars? And if he bites them,
he
will get electrocuted? Or are they just charged? And as soon as he clamps down, it's a magnet and he can't unclamp.
Stuck.
And so then he's stuck to the bars. And then everyone walks in and takes turns like poking him and stuff.
Look at you, you idiot.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. I didn't do it. This is really painful.
You're not open jaws.
Well, the Eternia crew is like, oh man, He-Man's gone. We're effed. Because Skeletor is gonna ruin us.
Yeah, so let's go to the most useless person in Eternia.
Oh, the
and
sorceress?
Ask her advice. Yes, let's go talk to Zoar. So they go to Castle Grayskull. They start talking to
the sorceress. Literally 5 seconds for the sorceress to be like, yep, can't help you, but
I know someone who can. Zodak, the Cosmic Observer, which reminded me of, I think his name is Metron in DC, where he's a similar character. He exists outside of time and space, and he is able to watch.
Place what his voice sounds like, but it sounds like a YouTube animated voice, where it's like,
oh,
I am Umicron.
Yeah, yeah, you know? No, I totally get.
He had the celestial being's voice.
Yeah, yeah.
Matt, this is the most important thing.
Oh, Jermaine Clement when he was the Cloud.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much
on Rick and Morty. Yeah.
Very much like Fart.
Yeah.
Fart. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's he has that like wise as fuck voice.
Right. Orko, take this magic wand. It'll glow when you're close to He-Man.
No, well, I think he was
and
it'll like,
work with
you're
your
the only
magic.
Yeah, this it will work with your magic.
Ugh. Anyway,
magic you wands, should, science. Whatever.
You should go. I'm a new character available for $6.99 at your local Toys R Us.
Or Kmart for that.
I kind of look like a leather man.
Matt, everybody on the show kind of looks like a leather man.
They really do.
You know who he reminded me of? And I always forget the guy's name, but it doesn't matter because you'll know exactly who I'm talking about. He reminded me of the one pilot in Return of the Jedi that looks like he's got a bunch of pancakes for a face. I mean, he does. It looks like he's got a bunch of pancakes.
Oh, pancake face.
Yeah, whole pancake face. There was a guy at my last job, and I found out what the thing's name was. And whenever that guy was being a douche, I would just start talking about this character. And, like, people in the area knew who I was talking about, and they'd start laughing. This bonehead didn't know. He's an idiot.
Well, never you worry, because He-Man lands in a Salvador Dali painting.
Yeah, so he... Do you think that this episode was where they just kind of decided, so you know all those characters that we threw out because they weren't good enough? Let's put those in an episode.
Look, we are really, we have no money, but we need a couple new characters. What do you got?
I've got a character that kind of looks like Usagi Yojimbo, but stupid.
Cool.
Okay, all right, all right. I like where you're going so far.
Does it have a bird's head?
Well, no, but I do have a character that I was drawing to make fun of my mother-in-law.
Oh, cool.
Oh,
let me
great.
See.
Yeah. Oh, we can't say that on children's television.
Okay, well, take out the racial epithets and add some chicken feet to it and we're good to go. Can you make sure she's voiced by Miss Prissy?
Yes.
Whoa.
Oh god,
He-Man has no recollection where he is.
Yeah, so he wakes up next to a bunch of pink snorks and they're just kind of boing. I mean, these things literally make a boing noise.
Yep.
When they jump, boing, boing, boing.
He loses really once again. He-Man habitually loses this sort of power.
Yeah.
He is...
He loses it in a tree stump.
Oh, my God, you idiot.
Can we get another He-Man, maybe?
Dude, take care of your stuff.
Yeah, it's like, make He-Man Teela or some shit. She would not be losing
Dude,
her fucking sword.
Teela would keep track of everything.
Yeah, that place would be running like a Swiss watch.
Eternia would be paradise.
Be paradise.
But no, this bird woman and He-Man start having a conversation.
So her name is Gleedle, a.k.a. Oh. Miss Prissy.
I didn't catch that. Gleedle?
Mm-hmm. Gleedle. Yeah, let's just move
Hey,
past
man,
it.
there's a rabbit named Plandor.
Plundor.
Plundor.
Plundor. You know, plunder. Plundor.
Yeah.
Of course.
Of course it is.
So Rabbit Skeletor is just...
And at this point, I write down, is everybody fucking yoked? This rabbit does not need to be this swole.
No, no. It's not like he even does anything. He's got an army, and now I get to say it where it makes sense. He's got an army of egg-shaped robots.
Yes.
Because they're egg-shaped, but they have rabbit faces.
Yes.
So they do get to be called robots, and it makes perfect sense.
They show his factory, and his factory literally is what Aqua Teen Hunger Force used for the face of Rabot.
Yeah, it is.
And I was like, oh my God. Well, don't you worry, because the Eternian crew is going to send their best and brightest, a.k.a. Ram Man, Cringer, and Orko through.
You know, I think that what they thought was like, all right, if we lost He-Man, like, that sucks. But if we lose these three,
if we lose Teela,
we're fucked. We're all fucked.
If we lose
Eternia.
Then we lose the ability to at least like mobilize an army.
Well, I mean,
we would
also lose like a lot of technological advancement. Like, take what you will from him and his often, you know,
but
stupidity.
But if Orko gets murked on a mission,
yeah, if someone straight up jacks him, that's okay. Like,
Cringer without He-Man is useless anyway, so get him out of here. Ram Man is as dumb as a box of rocks.
Yeah, I mean, though I do have to point out that he did come through a lot in this episode.
Yes.
Though, I mean, when the situation calls for a lot of stuff to get smashed,
Ram Man is your guy.
I mean, Ram Man comes through. I mean, you know, it's not like we ever have to worry about being in a, you know, a neck and neck race for the Nobel Prize with him. But
right.
Unless there's a Nobel Prize for smashing things with your head, in which, like, we are kind of out of the running, but...
So we enter Surfing with the Alien with Cringer, Ram Man, and Orko. It really looks like Cringer is surfing. If they would have put a surfboard below him and be like, doo 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 doo.
That would have... So...
Whoa! Hey, it looked... Chen! Whoa!
Oh God! It was I kind of turned to you and I go, it kind of looks like he's dancing, and you go, it looks like he's surfing, and then when I thought about that, like, because it kind of looked like he was doing like the twist a little.
It looked
bit.
A little twisty. It looked a little walk like an Egyptian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that did come out in 84.
Yeah.
Oh, but this was 83. So never mind. So, anyway. Where were we? Right. Oh, so they go through the time window and they're just,
they have an act break that happens there, and when they come back, it's straight up Ram Man's crotch.
Yeah, it's and
I put Ram Man crotch.
Ram Man scats. He's serious. I mean, like, he doesn't poop, but he's just like zibbity doop dop ba doop ba boop, and it was like,
duh.
Fuck yeah! What the fuck is going on here? I think that Paul Dini probably likes Ram Man a little bit.
I think he does, because he shows up in his episodes quite a bit.
Yeah, and also, like, he's useful in Paul Dini's episodes, whereas in other episodes he could seriously be sitting around in a pile of his own filth. Well, and it would be
in
like
other episodes, they could have just put him on some papers, and he was like, I'm just watching these. He's also like the Thing.
Oh, I mean, yeah, he is there strictly for clobbering time.
Yeah.
You don't expect Ben Grimm to solve math, even though in the like Silver Age, I think he was like an astronaut, so he would have to be
pretty
kinda smart.
Kind
of smart, but, you know, whatever.
But don't you worry, baby, because He-Man and
Miss Prissy, Gleedle.
Gleedle are about to get abducted by Plundor.
Yeah, so Plundor, so Gleedle is giving He-Man the lowdown on what happened to their planet. So
Plundor ruined it.
Plundor polluted the planet. There was a lot of Dr. Seuss, like,
yes!
You know, Lorax type things going on. Where at one point
that fish is a straight.
I was gonna say that fish looked like one fish, two yes. fish, red fish, blue fish. It was yellow, but like a yellow fish. Come on, those don't exist.
Not too far away.
And then there, you know, it was like a deer and a cartoon duck. I mean, obviously it's a cartoon, but like this was obviously like a cartoon duck
with like 100 eyes on it. But don't worry, yeah, the glass was, breaks. And oh, it's an egg
it's a robot.
Rab-
it's a robot.
Rabbit and, robot.
And it, this made me mad. It lets out a cloud of gas, and Gleedle says it's sleep smoke. And I was like,
sleep smoke.
Sleep smoke.
Not knockout gas.
Not sleeping gas. Not anything like that. It's sleep smoke.
Hey Matt, we're in another dimension, baby.
They call things different words, except for every other fucking word they've used.
You have a chub chub on your fafa. What? It's real.
I don't know what that. I'm not sure what you mean.
I speak the true.
Sometime a small true, more truer than a big true. God damn that movie. All right, so.
It's a real cloud hatless yeah, situation. Yeah.
So.
Everyone's yoked.
Yeah. So the robot takes them away. Cringer finds.
So
Cringer and Ram Man and Orko.
They find the Master Sword.
Well, they find the Master Sword.
Cringer smells it and is now Scooby-Dooing to find
yeah,
He-Man.
Even though he has a cold. Yeah, so they're walking through the woods and Cringer runs face first into Gleedle's cat.
Yes.
Who's just...
Who has watched everything go down.
Yeah. So it's essentially just a tan Cringer.
Yep. With a lady face.
Yeah. So Cringer bumps into the cat, and what I wrote was Cringer finds her cat, embarrassing improv ensues.
Yep. They're basically like, hey, talk to the cat, see if it knows anything.
Rower, meow, fang.
I will be the female cat.
Oh. Sorry, I was doing. Duncan shows up. What that cat is trying to say is that Plundor.
He pulls down a screen. Yeah.
Plundor, who's this jacked rabbit?
Who's this totally yoked, gunked out rabbit who's been polluting this
He's
world?
He's been polluting the planet.
Many animals have died. It's a real mess. Anyway, he's got He-Man and this bird woman who also has the best physique out of anybody in Eternia.
Yeah, she's pretty built. She's like, I'm not going to go into the
bird face and legs.
Yeah, bird face, bird legs, weird looking hands.
There's a moment where He-Man goes, why does she remind me of someone?
And they fucking show the sorceress's dumb face floating in the middle, like wavy, like, ooh, huh, I wonder why. Like,
hey, bro, I'll tell you why.
Because you have this is why she shouldn't remind He-Man of Sorceress, because Gleedle actually gets things done.
Yeah.
She's actually useful.
Well, the cat reveals the secrets and where to go, and it's leading the way.
So, so they lead the way. Plundor then wakes them up and then just straight up monologues for like 2 minutes.
And he is sitting in a chair, and the perspective on this is ridiculous.
Really, it's really weird. It's a real Egyptian statue type of thing.
Right.
Where
his legs and hands are enormous, but his head is tiny. like
the camera was down by his feet.
Exactly. It was just... Like, all right.
That's weird. So weird.
Anyway.
So he's talking about how he made this liquid.
This liquid is a freaking mystery. He's like, well, I made a... I took everything and I synthesized it into this liquid, basically.
Yeah, so he took everything, like the life of the planet, synthesized it, and now he's going to make bags of money. And when I say bags of money, I am not exaggerating.
Uncle Money Bags sacks. Yes,
it goes to him thinking, like, it's literally a thought bubble of like bars of gold and then like rubies and stuff and a bag with a dollar sign on it. And I just looked at you and I was like, that bag has a dollar sign on it. Like, is he planning on coming to like America? Like, and just setting up shop? Because, I mean, let's be honest, he'd probably do pretty well here. Anyhow, so he's telling them, and I think that Gleedle's like, you'll never get away with this.
tweet. Squaw, squaw.
So Orko and Ram Man get attacked by some robots.
Ram Man busts them to shit.
Yeah.
Cringer is all scared, and Orko goes over to He-Man.
Yeah, he sees He-Man. He's like, oh, He-Man. And Orko's like, or I'm sorry, He-Man's like, Do I know you, Flying Shirt? Like, I...
Hey, name O?
What's... Yeah.
Hello, O.
Hey,
O guy. I'm gonna call you O man.
What's happening? So Orko's just like, oh, He-Man, we've been worried about you, blah, blah, blah. And
Zodak told me to talk about home. He-Man's like, I don't know anything about home, baby.
Do I know? Yeah. Don't jive me, turkey.
I don't know nothing about home, baby.
So
get your sass out of here.
So Orko's is like, oh, what did Zodak tell me? I have to remind him of home. Like, thanks for reminding us what happened in the first and second act. Now that it's the third act, Orko.
So I was really hoping for a Shazam situation here. Because Orko tells, or Kazam, or whatever, but Orko tells He-Man to take the Sword of Power, hold it aloft, and say, by the power of Grayskull, I have the power. And he doesn't even
tell him the last part. He just says, you know, take out your sword and, oh, that's and right. say this. And
by
so,
the power of Grayskull. That's yeah, all so, you got to say.
So He-Man takes out his sword and says, by the power of Grayskull.
And then not the lightning and everything starts.
Yeah, and then everything starts. I have the power, blah, blah, blah.
And he's like, oh, I remember everything, Orko.
Yeah, hey, how's it going, O-Man? Or whatever the fuck he called him.
Orc-Man, my little orcs. Orc-dude. Anyway, who wants to go surfing later?
I do.
I haven't trained you yet. Hey, guess what? The good guys win.
Yeah. Yeah,
once he wins in a last desperate get this synthesized liquid out of here, he Plundor shoots it off in a rocket.
A rocket with a rabbit face on the side. But it was just like a regular like Bugs Bunny type rabbit. It wasn't Plundor, unless it was like Plundor when he was like 10 or 11.
Right.
And still like cute and stuff. So we should probably explain that... Did we explain that Plundor's a rabbit?
I thought so, because we talked about the Aqua Teen rabbit.
Oh, yeah, and Usagi Yojimbo. Yeah. So He-Man jumps on the rocket,
yep,
punches it a few times, and says, like, well, gotta...
Fly,
yeah.
Gotta... The writers are just there in the room. It's like... He-Man's on the goddamn rocket.
Again, he's on another fucking rocket.
He's just fucking... He's double overhand smashed it.
Time for me to fly. Good enough.
Time for me to fly. Fine. Jesus Christ. Does anybody have any cocaine? I'm just...
Matt, you've been awake for 85 hours. No more cocaine for
you. Hey, man. Filmation has needs. Hey, man.
Okay. All right. I'll talk to Mendoza.
But when Mendoza's men get involved, it's a whole other eternia.
Senator Mendoza.
Senator Mendoza, the Eternians are acting wily.
I am not gonna. I am not going to do a Colombian accent.
No, nope.
You can forget it.
But instead, I will do Man at Arms as Senator Mendoza. Ladies
Senator
and gentlemen,
man,
I have developed
Senator Mendoza.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad you joined me. I have made crank, which is 10 times more addictive than marijuana.
Senator, why would you make drugs?
Take him away.
Just a dart right in the reporter's neck.
Good shot, Tila.
I mean, a man could have done a better shot, but it was good for a woman. It was, you tried hard.
Looks like it's time for a woman to be in charge.
I'll rule Eternia now, bitches!
And scene.
I loved how we had the same idea at the same time.
Of course it would be Orko. Ram Man.
So, yeah.
The liquid explodes. It fixes the world.
Yeah, it fixes the planet.
Does.
And then they straight up enslave Plundor. And I think he killed those snorks.
Oh, for sure.
Because he's breaking rocks with a sledgehammer. They had him destroying the foundry that he had, making all the robots and polluting the planet and all that. So they've got these pink little snorks jumping up and down. Because once he stopped to wipe the sweat away from his brow in his black and white striped prisoner outfit, they all start like... They start mad dogging him.
Yes.
Where they're just like, eep, eep, eep. And he's got a sledgehammer and he just kind of looks at them with murder in his eyes. And then it cuts back.
One day that guard ain't going to be looking.
I don't even think there was. I think they were the guards, Matt.
I'm going to murder you.
I think that Gleedle is going to find a very messy surprise when she goes back to that factory.
Hey. I'm already in here for life.
You're going to give me more time?
Ugh, all I got is time.
And then Ram Man bounces with some of those.
He says, oh, these you moves sure know how to party.
God damn it.
A lambda, 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 and omega moves.
So, yeah, that is literally the end of the episode. Is he says, I mean, it wasn't exactly, you know, these moves sure know how to party, but he said something along the lines of, these snorks sure know how to have fun. They have a name. I don't remember what the name is. I don't care, frankly, because it was stupid. And I mean, it was dumber than the widgets. I'll put it that way.
Right.
I heard it, and I was filled with a slight amount of rage that was then dissipated when something even dumber came along.
Right.
And it was just like, I am rage fatigued. I can't get mad about stuff all day, every day. I am tired.
Adrenal fatigue.
Yeah, I am tired. So then the lesson for the episode.
Yeah, we had a sweet lesson.
Was and it's Zodak. Zodak shows up.
It is I, Zodak. What's cracking? Let's talk about the Earth
and animals.
You gotta take care of it. It's
trees and plants.
It's the only one. The only one you got.
And some animals have already disappeared. Let's not do that. Let's take care of the Earth. It's the only one we have.
See you later.
Yeah.
Sleep tight, kids. The Earth is dying.
And you're killing it.
And it's your fault for buying these plastic dolls. These terrible plastic. They'll never. You know what the half-life of plastic is?
I don't either. But it takes a long time, I'm assuming.
It takes forever. These aren't made of rubber, kids. Rubber is...
Well, except for Whiplash.
Rubber is a different compound. It's made from plant. These things are garbage, kids.
Don't eat them.
I would never put a foot in my mouth, if you know what I mean. Like, don't look at He-Man's boot and be like, what's that taste like? I can guarantee it tastes like disappointment. Take it from old Zodi over here.
So, did you notice that it was Zodiac without the A? Or without the I?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Hey. Hey, let me see your palm, kid. Yeah. When were you born? Oh, that's a terrible sign. All of it's bad. The world's burning up. Trump's president. Fuck you. How about that, kid? You like it? Zodiac's tired now. Any thoughts or lessons from you, Manny? Don't do drugs.
Yeah, don't get crank from Senator Mendoza, I guess.
Man.
Senator Mendoza, I'm sorry.
You can get in contact with us on Facebook at facebook.com/MattersPod, on Twitter as well at MattersPod. I am at Matt Noss on Twitter.
I am at Karate Dracula on Twitter.
Thank you so much for listening to Matters of the Universe. If you have a specific He-Man memory that you would love to share with us, we would love to hear it. Hopefully we have not fully ruined your childhood. And we will catch you on the next episode of
Matters of the Universe. The Strain.
We're going to do The Strain.
We have to. It's so good.
All right. Bye. Bye.